This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit TrinitySchool.org for more info now.
All right, members of the jury, good morning. All right, y'all sound good. You ready to get started? Okay, all right, without further delay.
It's the week of November 27, just after Thanksgiving, the opening week of the YSL trial with a seated jury. We should have been at this months ago. And if the court had not set aside the speedy trial rules during the pandemic judicial emergency, we probably would have been. Opening statements are underway. First, the prosecution. DA Adrienne Love steps up, and the first words the jury hears from her are from a famous kid's book.
Now, this is the law of the jungle, as old and as true as the sky. And the wolf that shall keep it may prosper, but the wolf that shall break it must die. As the creeper that girdles the tree trunk, the law runneth forward and back. For the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack.
Deeper in the opening statement, she explains the significance.
The quote that I read to you earlier is from one of my favorite books as a kid, The Jungle Book. In case anybody recognized it, those were Rudyard Kipling's words and not mine. But they are appropriate for where we are today. For 10 years and counting, the group calling itself Young Slime Life dominated the Cleveland Avenue community of Fulton County. YSL, as the evidence will show, they didn't move individually. The members and associates of YSL, they moved like a pack with the defendant Jeffrey Williams as its head.
On Tuesday, the defense gets their turn. And in a RICO trial, each defense attorney gets an opportunity to make an opening statement on behalf of their client.
Young Thug's attorney, Brian Steele, laments Williams' troubled upbringing.
Jeffrey Williams was born into an environment, a community, a society that was filled with depression, despair, hopelessness, and helplessness. In this environment, Jeffrey developed deep, embedded beliefs. Our criminal justice system was not just, at least for people that he saw.
And even claims Young Thug's name has a surprising meaning.
Thug meant and means to Jeffrey something very personal. It was his path that he could ever make it as a musical artist and help his family, himself, and as many others out of this endless cycle of hopelessness. He would be truly humble under God. That's what thug means.
Those are the biggest players in this case. But things get especially interesting for us when defense attorneys for some of the less recognizable defendants take their turns.
Now, Fulton County Blue refers to the Fulton County Jail, 901 Rice Street, where people are taken when they're arrested for felony charges in Fulton County. And Fulton County Blue refers to the jumpsuits that these individuals wear.
Defense attorney Max Shard represents Shannon Stillwell, one of four YSL defendants accused of being in the rented Infiniti that was used in the shooting death of Donovan Thomas Jr. outside A&M Barbershop. Shard introduces the idea that the former YSL defendants who took deals, the ones who will now be used as witnesses in the prosecution, can't be trusted.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fulton County Blue is going to be a very important color in this case, because the state's key witnesses that they're going to call to testify against my client Shannon Stillwell, when they became involved in this case, they were all wearing Fulton County Blue.
Because anyone will do what they have to do to get out of the Fulton County Jail.
You're confined to a cell, sometimes with another man sharing that small cell with you. You have no privacy. Use the bathroom in front of men, shower in front of men. You're in fear, danger. You're separated from your family and your loved ones. But most importantly, the men wearing blue, Fulton County Blue, they've lost control of their lives. They've lost control of their destiny. Their destiny is now in the hands of the judicial system, in the hands of prosecutors. But what you should keep in mind is, when did these men say what they have to say? Did they say it when they first got the information to share? Or when they claim they first got the information to share? Or did they share it when they found themselves wearing the Fulton County Blue? When they no longer had control of their destinies and they needed a favor, and they decided to insert themselves into a high-profile case that could solve all their problems.
Bashard wasn't the only attorney to bring up Rice Street right out the gate.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Carrington Matthews, Sr.
Carrington Matthews Sr. represents Marquavius Huey, who's facing more charges than anyone else in the trial, including armed robbery, gang charges, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, and carjacking. Huey is being subjected to additional counts that were added after his arrest.
So the state, the government, they are alleging that Mr. Huey, along with Tinquarius Minder, did possess a weapon inside the Fulton County Jail on that particular date.
Sheriff's deputies allegedly found a shank in the cell of Huey and another YSL defendant, Tinquarius Minder. But Matthews wonders aloud in front of the jury why two inmates from the same indictment would be put in the same cell in the first place.
This isn't the Holiday Inn, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get to choose your own room that you want to be in. Oh, I want to be on the third floor. I want to be at the penthouse. No. The facility has made a decision to put two individuals who are on the same indictment in the same cell. Not the same pod, not the same facility, but the same cell.
The implication Matthews is making is that Minder and his client Huey could have been set up on that February day when the weapon was allegedly found.
When they do this raid, they tell everybody, get down on the ground. Keep your heads looking down. Don't look up at us. Two individuals on the same indictment in the same cell, and they go to that particular room during your first.
Using Rice Street's sordid reputation as a defense is an interesting strategy. It also may be a good one.
We know that the Fulton County Jail is plagued with problems. Not small problems, huge problems. What kind of problems? Problems of people dying there. Infested dead person with bugs on them. In your jail that you pay tax dollars for, the jail is falling apart. The jail is under federal investigation for inmates not receiving adequate medical care, employees having legal problems. So they charge Mr. Healy and Mr. Mender with possessing a shank. You will learn that there are cells that are left open. And that is not a safe place to be when a cell is left open and you're just trying to lay your head down and sleep. There are scenarios where you want the cell to be locked. So we're going to ask some difficult conversation questions when that time comes.
Who needs to wait?
We've talked about Rice Street before. It's part of the YSL case and the story. Two YSL defendants are charged with trying to kill the rapper YFN Lucci in jail and of asking Young Thug for permission to take another shot while they're locked up.
Young Thug isn't being held in the Fulton County Jail. Sheriff Pat Labatt sent him to Cobb County in an effort to minimize conflict. And then there's Kenneth Copeland. That's Lou Woody to his friends. He's the state's star witness. In that videotaped conversation with police we featured earlier in the series, he's desperate to avoid going to Rice Street. Says he'd much prefer to do time in prison than sit in that jail.
People around the world started hearing about Rice Street when Donald Trump's mugshot started circulating this summer. But the jail's existence predates these headlines by decades, and it's been name-checked an Atlanta rat for some 20 years. It's an Atlanta marker, a landmark as relevant to trap as Bankhead or Magic City. Atlanta rap artists have known that Fulton County Jail is actually more dangerous than any street corner in the city.
Some of the people we've been talking about in this podcast have bled on Rice Street's cracked concrete floor since the start of this trial. Some have been murder targets. Some are accused of trying to murder others in this jail. And all around them, bodies are falling. That blood behind bars matters to music, to Atlanta, and to this case. And today, we delve into Rice Street's sordid reputation with people who have spent time inside.
I had 20 people stab me up. I stabbed 35 times.
I had no idea that in America people would be treated this way prior to even seeing a judge.
I'm George Cheedy.
And I'm Christina Lee.
This is King Slime.
The prosecution of Young Thug and YSL.
Atlanta has never had a jail that wasn't some kind of problem. Rice Street is the sixth jail built for Fulton County since 1900, and every single one eventually had to be rebuilt or replaced because of overcrowding, degradation, and violence. Atlanta met the crack epidemic of the 80s and 90s the way you might expect. Mass incarceration.
The newest and one of the deadliest drugs sweeping the country today is crack.
Drugs now appear to have penetrated every level of society.
But it's as innocent looking as candy, but it's turning our cities into battle zones.
The city got Atlanta's abusive Red Dog unit of drug cops.
Says they're called Red Dog after the blitzing football defense of the same name. Red Dog, we're told, is supposed to hit hard and fast and make their presence felt at what police say are known drug hotspots.
It got expanded courts, but it did not get a jail that could handle what those cops and courts sent them. Fulton County opened the jail on Rice Street in 1989. On paper, it's designed for 1,125 inmates. As far as we can tell, it has never held fewer people than that. The current target is 2,000. But at times, it's been stuffed with well over 3,000.
Atlanta's rappers haven't missed the beat on Rice Street. The jail is mythic and myth-making. It's been name-checked by nearly a dozen local artists. From 21 Savage,
Rice Street, man, I ate a lot of soups.
to Pee Wee Longway, Lil Baby, T.I., and Future. Not once, but twice. Here's Gunna, back when he was still known as Young Gunna, from a time before Young Thug became his label boss and mentor. And one of the first songs to feature Young Thug after he was arrested features a similar punchline. Locked in like Rice Street without a bun. I was playing with the powder way before LeBron. That's Run by Killer Mike, from an album nominated for a Grammy in 2024. And then there's Gucci Mane. Y'all remember Gucci with the big old gut? Down bad, right screen, 901. On the song Internet Chatter, Gucci is looking back on the man he was some 20 years ago, a time when his rap sheet was growing and he was doing time in Rice Street. Facts that made him something of a folk hero in trap music, where the rallying cry among fans was, what else? Free Gucci. In March 2009, Gucci emerged from a six-month stint with pages and pages of raps that he had written from behind bars. The night of his release, he headed to Metronome Studios in Atlanta, anticipating that the world would finally be able to hear them. But instead, his go-to producer, Zaytoven, told him to ditch those pages and just freestyle. No problem, Gucci thought. He stepped into the booth. This that new shit. So this song, First Day Out, set a new homecoming tradition for hip-hop going forward. Artists like Chief Keef, Kodak Black, Offset, and JT of City Girls have all recorded their own quote-unquote First Day Out tracks. The whole point is to capture that moment where life after lockup begins. Lotto, a Clayton County native who counts Gucci Mane as one of her favorite rappers, technically has a First Day Out track of her own. It just happens to be called Fuck Rice Street. Man, fuck APD, fuck Sandy Springs, fuck Rice Street, fuck all y'all. Fulton County records show she was arrested a few months after her 2019 breakout hit, Bitch from the South, on a felony charge in Sandy Springs that was quickly dismissed. Shit, so bitch, I'm coming not rich. Fresh shadow, right street. Shout out Auntie G, G, Kiki. I ain't do it, bitch. Free me. Not all the artists who reference Rice Street have served time there. That's not entirely the point of these lyrics, though. To rap about Rice Street is to shed light on the sort of environment these artists came up in. These artists discuss the jail on an if-you-know-you-know basis. And the implication is, it may be better that you don't. In 2017, Gucci Mane released his autobiography, which explained for the first time in detail what he saw as an inmate. Reading those pages felt like the first time I understood why he sounded so triumphant in First Day Out. Because at Rice Street, he saw cells meant to hold two bunks with three, air that was hot, humid, and dank from broken washing machines, clogged sinks, and overflowing toilets. Daily fights, stabbings, even a shooting, he says. Gucci is discussing what he saw from time served in 2005 and from 2008 to 2009. But those pages, they could have been written yesterday.
And that goes to the uniquely dysfunctional conditions at the Fulton County Jail. It's February 2023, and I'm talking to a man named Demence Flanagan on the phone. He's an inmate at Rice Street calling me from a jail phone. Flanagan was arrested on drug charges in 2022, not long after being released from Sumter County Prison in South Georgia. Someone I had written about was in jail and introduced the two of us. Flanagan had a story to tell. He's got a rap sheet, but this was his first trip to Rice Street.
Man, I walked into jail, it's nasty, like, it's not sanitary, it's not clean nowhere, like, they got bodies on bodies.
It's hard to make out on the crackly prison phone line. But he says here,
the minute I walked into the jail, it's nasty. It's not sanitary. It's not clean anywhere. They got bodies and bodies in intake. Speaking of intake, it could take a week, 2 weeks. Ain't no way you're supposed to be in intake that long. It's crazy.
Intake is the main floor holding cell where new inmates are held for processing before being put into cells.
At some point, did anybody try to sort of walk you through how to stay safe while you were at the jail?
No. Definitely told me, oh, I'm taking you to a place where you do a lot of stabbing. I'm like, why are you taking me over there then? They do a lot of stabbing over there. Why are you taking me over there?
Wait, so the deputy said that they were taking you to a place where they do a lot of stabbing.
Yeah.
Even after the cryptic warning, when Flanagan gets up there on the fifth floor, he's shocked at what he sees.
On the fifth, sixth, seventh floor, like, the showers mold everywhere. The doors broke. One officer, day shift and night shift. And we secured, ain't no doors locking down. They had all night. We got mad swords and machetes, all types of stuff. Like, it's crazy.
Did you say swords and machetes?
Yeah.
The higher you go at Rice Street, the tighter the security. Because of their long-term stays, it's likely most of the YSL guys are on floors 5 through 7. It's on floor 5 where Flanagan says on February 12th, 2023, he's in his cell when he gets jumped.
I was in the room. I made my way up the steps, got to the room, locked myself in the room while trying to hold the door. Into the room, got it locked. Then they try to open it up. They hit the rooms and stabbed in my arms. And I had to let the door go, and they came and started stabbing me.
They came into the room and stabbed me in my arms. I had to let the door go. They came in and just kept stabbing.
All right, wait. Ain't gonna go other way.
This is how it went. Ain't no other way.
So you saw them coming, they attacked you, you were in the hall, and then you ran back into the room and closed the lock, and then they broke the lock and broke into the room. How many people jumped on you?
Like 20 people stabbed me up. I stabbed 35 times.
So you're right now, you're assuming it was a gang thing, but did anybody, there was never anybody who said, like, we're coming after you, and this is why?
No one ever told me that. I don't have any. No, I don't understand how they got stabbed up like that. I don't have no enemies. I'm a people's person. Like, I'm friendly. I'm kind, generous person. Like, I don't have enemies.
To be clear, Flanagan is not saying any of the YSL defendants were involved in this incident. Flanagan is actually calling me from a phone in the medical unit of Rice Street. When we're talking, he's still recovering from those 35 stab wounds he received from 20 inmates.
How are you, like, what's your mental health like right now? Are you in fear?
Ever since I've been stabbed, I've had nightmares or sleepless nights. You know, stuff like that.
Have you seen any other fights or stabbings before you were injured?
Yes.
Before I was injured and after.
All right. So how often is this happening? What are you seeing?
You have 1 minute left.
It's often, right?
Often. It was almost like I can't get space. It would go on. They let folks get stabbed and whatnot.
Flanagan has been locked up before. He's even served hard time in state custody. But he's never seen anything like Rice Street.
It's crazy. I've been in prison. This rougher in here than it is in prison right now.
It's crazy. Like, I've been in prison. It's rougher in here right now than it is in prison.
I ain't never been stabbed. Like, I just did 6 years in prison. I never got stabbed or nothing.
I just did 6 years in prison and never got stabbed or nothing.
Flanagan hopes, by talking to me, that people will learn what's happening at the jail. But he's only given a few minutes to talk to us. Our call is about to cut off. It's time to say goodbye.
You are incredibly lucky to have survived this.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad they stopped when they stopped.
Do you have a sense of, like, so what stopped them?
The grace of God, that's all I can say,
God. Demance, I am grateful for you. And, like, I'm grateful that you've survived. Take care. Keep your chin up.
Yeah. All right.
The caller had hung up.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Last year, a sheriff's deputy working on Rice Street's medical ward peered into a dank, darkened cell to find LaShawn Thompson face down in the toilet, surrounded by filth and failure.
The family of a man who died in the Fulton County Jail says he was eaten alive in his cell by bedbugs and insects.
Other people came to the cell in hazmat suits to pull his lice-covered head from a bowl full of his own waste.
35-year-old LaShawn Thompson was arrested last June for simple battery, a misdemeanor. The pictures of Thompson's body, his face and torso covered with bugs, are too graphic to show on TV.
This is the death that Marquavius Huey's attorney, Carlton Matthews, referred to at the top of the show.
We know that the Fulton County Jail is plagued with problems. Not small problems, huge problems. What kind of problems? Problems of people dying there. Infestated dead person with bugs on them.
You would think the death of LaShawn Thompson and the $4 million settlement the county had to pay his family might have been a wake-up call. And it was, perhaps. For us. None of this was a revelation to people who know the jail.
The way that I grew up, I had no idea that in America people would be treated this way prior to even seeing a judge. So even
this is Lauren Hopper. She's a nurse. From January until September, she worked inside Rice Street, employed by a national medical services provider called NAFCARE.
So LaShawn Thompson was the man who died covered in bedbug bites. Can you explain to me from the inside perspective how something like that happens? How the cell ended up that filthy?
That's King Slime producer Tommy Andres, who interviewed Lauren with me.
The cells always look like that. I would say like the two different goals of the officers versus the medical
I had several nurses tell me, because I said that, I said, like, bed bugs don't really eat people. Like, what do you think? You know, because this is a little bit prior to when I was working there. And they said that all we can do is provide medication for the bed bugs. It's not our problem. We do not clean the cells. So it's not a medical issue.
Hopper says, even though she wasn't there when Thompson died, she saw plenty of evidence of dangerous squalor.
There were times they would say that the inmates would flood the toilets. So it's the inmates' fault, right? But somehow they would do it. And I would try to give meds to guys, like, getting out of their bunks with water up to their, like, calves, like, stepping it, you know, like, coming to the
sewage, not just water, like toilet water?
Correct. And so when you see those pictures, like, that's not, that doesn't surprise me at all. I just kind of didn't understand, like, how a bug could do it personally. But I would have people, like, the most recent one was a guy that his whole, like, lip was completely swollen. And he had, like, bite marks all on his face. And everybody would say, yeah, the bugs at night, they come out. And so I saw, like, I mean, it was that, no, that's a daily. More than one person would come up to me and show me bite marks. So I don't know what's biting them. But on the mental health, I've seen, like, I've opened up a door before with, like, gnats everywhere. So they don't, a lot of times their trays are sitting in there for multiple days in a row. I've seen feces on the wall with, like, and again, these are probably like a mental health floor, but I'm pretty sure that's his. He was located there, and I think they let him out once a day, maybe. And if they're in a place where they don't want to come, you know, they say no. It's not like anyone's like, no, like, you need to. They're just like, he don't want to. Next, and so they, you know, they might spend days without even looking. You know, they might make sure that they're breathing from afar, but it's not like they're doing any kind of check on them. And then how would an officer really know what to look for when it comes to the medical?
So how often are the cells cleaned, and how big is that staff? Like, is it?
I've never seen anybody, like, I've never seen staffed. I don't know who cleans it. I've never seen, maybe the trustees. I see trustees, like, sometimes sweeping.
Trustees are volunteers?
They're the inmates that they say, like, based on their behavior, but it's not true, because I know a few of the murderers that are trustees, so they're allowed out in the popular, you know, with everyone. But yeah, they do work throughout.
So there
the
is no cleaning staff at the jail? At least for the cells. I mean, maybe potentially for the staff areas or something, but
I don't think. No.
Holy shit.
I don't think I ever saw. Because nurses are, like, inherently kind of, you know, we clean our area, so I guess I just didn't. I mean, I definitely wondered, like, how long has this been this way when I would see someone with multiple, you know, with their food, like, stacked or something. And then with the overcrowding, where a lot of them were sleeping on, they call them boats, on the floor. A lot of them were on the floor, and they had them on. And I think that the numbers are down now, but they had reached a point where it was, like, people were waiting just to have a cot, so they're, like, out in the open. So then obviously it's going to get dirty faster than anybody could ever probably keep up. But I'd have to think about that. I don't think I ever saw, like, a cleaning person.
The most insane part of all of this is that these aren't convicts. These are people who have been arrested and are merely accused of a crime.
Not only are they not convicted, they literally haven't even been able to determine if they get, have a bond.
Hopper says that folks sent to Rice Street are hit hard by the dire conditions the second they come in the door.
My thing was an intake, so then I'm sitting there. Each person comes in, telling their story to me, and I have, like, the glass so I can look out. And then we just have everybody else in these. There are about five or six cages, pretty much. And there were 15, 20 guys in one little, like, closet space. They couldn't get them out of the intake area because there wasn't any room upstairs, but there was no bite there was no sense of urgency. So it would be like, there were guys there for a week.
What do you mean, like, correct. In the intake section?
Correct. And you aren't allowed, and there's things like your mental health meds that until you see a mental health provider, which we don't offer unless you're suicidal, they don't come, you don't get them when you're down in intake. So you go how many days without your meds? and then you act out, and then the officers punish them by, they won't open the doors at all. I mean, I would see like men that I knew based on like looking at them that they have, you know, COPD, certain things like that, and they'd get all kind of worked up and start turning red. And I'd be like, can you let them just sit out there? And like so many of them would start having panic attacks. And I'd be like, they just need to breathe. Like they're not trying to do anything. You know, they would, a lot of times the officers would you kind of just get jaded and you just assume that the person's just trying to act out because they want privileges. And it's like, you're in a box for 7 days. Like I would have lost my mind. It was me and one other nurse would do our best to at least let them try to come out for 5 minutes to breathe. And to think that that was like, something that was difficult to provide was just like, this is inhumane. And these people, you know, would be trespassing or something. And it's just like, it's traumatic.
Occasionally, staff would have to separate someone down an intake for all sorts of reasons. Hopper says one in particular is burned into her brain.
Grabbed him, and allegedly, he tried to kick the officer. So they put him in the cell by himself down an intake again. So this is someone that's just got there. Charged, but no, you know, hadn't seen a judge. And then I don't know how much time went by, but something happened where I guess they were walking by and saw like his hair sticking out from the bottom of the cell. So you knew he was on the ground and ran over there. He's not responding. He's like, can't, you know, you don't see any movement of the hair. So it's just like, so then they were like, all medical, all officers. And we all go over there. And it was like 20 people. It was like the whole jail. And we're all just standing there. Because we can't get the door open. So then they get maintenance. And this guy's down, and you're just expecting the worst. You're like, you're gonna find a cold body? Like, so maintenance comes, he can't get it. So one of the biggest officers, kind of like you're like kind of stocky, he grabs the crowbar and just starts like doing like old school, like just trying to. So basically, we finally get the door open. I'm gonna go about 15, at least 15 minutes.
The man was lying on the floor. Unresponsive.
And then we pull him out. He's got, somehow he's like, he tied his belt around his neck, but he's still breathing. So we don't know if like maybe he just wasn't able to complete it or if he, like who knows what it was.
The man survived, barely.
They blamed it on the inmate and said that he jammed the door. But the fact that that is like, that's when I understand like the sheriff says, let's get a new jail. But it's also like, can't you make sure doors open and close properly? That, like, it's not, it, sure, the thing's falling apart, but it's an old building. But the fact, but that is just so crazy that, like, we couldn't even attend to someone who could have, like, to think that if his family found out that he had passed when he didn't have to, I don't know.
But as Attorney Matthews alluded to at the top of the show, the biggest problem in the jail might not be the doors that won't open, but doors that won't stay closed. This is because most of them are broken. Hopper says she learned this the hard way during one of her first shifts, when the tone inside Rice Street suddenly shifted dramatically.
All of a sudden, the guys that were handing out food, trays go up in the air, and everybody's like yelling. Something was going on. I don't know what caused it, but then they had, so they were all just like fighting. The officer runs, and I didn't realize that all the doors were, it was like after fact. Like, they were like, oh yeah, you didn't know that they can open all those doors. And then in that day specifically, they ended up having several stabbings at that moment.
When you say they can open the doors, like, what do you mean?
They just use force, and they literally just push them. It's not difficult at all. But until I saw it, I didn't realize it was like, oh, I can do it too?
There are buildings in war zones with better infrastructure. Hopper remembers how a summer storm knocked out the jail's electricity, and then all hell broke loose.
The miners, they'll put them in the empty cells and with all these like older men. But those all, they can open those doors as well. So I ended up in there when all the lights went out, and it was so dark I didn't know where to go. But I had my card out, so I was like trying to lock up what I could, and I couldn't see. And finally, I saw the officer's flashlight, so I flagged her down.
Heavy rains pounded the leaky old building.
But when we went to, like, make sure they were all in their cells at the time, it was flooding so bad, it was like buckets of water coming out. And you're just looking at these kids that are, like, 18 years old, just, like, looking at you, like, you know, in pitch black. So I thought when I left, they wouldn't let us, like, it was all nothing works. You can't get out the building or in the building. And then they were like, well, you can't leave because we can't properly get people, the night shift to come in. You know, like they were, so what they were doing was, so some of the inmates, I don't even know how, but whatever area they were in where it was like really dark, they were following the officers through the tunnels to get to like another area. Finally get out probably like 10 o'clock at night. And I was convinced that that whole place like would just be, everybody would be like, oh no, like slaughtered. This is scary.
I'm sort of picturing this, like this jail has this reputation as a hellhole. It's physically falling apart. Like it's raining outside and so it's raining inside.
Bucket.
And then all the lights go out.
Mm-hmm.
In a jail where the doors can be opened by inmates.
Correct. Or could it be, or it could be stuck and then they're stuck in there.
You're describing a horror movie. Like this is a setup for a horror movie.
And I was like, is this a bad call to help people stay here? Because I was like, this is how it goes down, a horror film. And then I'm stuck in the jail, you know, when the whole place goes up in flames.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com. Symbiotica.com.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rice Street was built in 1989. It's not ancient by any means, but it is truly crumbling. Inmates have been breaking the building into pieces to forge shanks. Figures released by the sheriff through the first 10 months of 2023 tally 293 stabbings, 337 fights, 922 assaults, and more than 1,186 confiscated shanks, according to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Nearly every day, someone is getting stabbed there. Nearly every day, there's a Demence Flanagan. Get this. An inmate managed to dig a hole, Shawshank Redemption style, through the walls of the jail. Not to free himself, but to get to another inmate in the next cell block to stab him.
The jail has also suffered from staffing problems of all kinds. Maintenance workers say they don't always feel safe enough there to work, which exacerbates the issues with infrastructure. But there are other types of staffing problems that are even more concerning. 2 days after Flanagan's attack, a sheriff's deputy allegedly opened a door to allow an inmate, Frank Hubbard, to enter a communal area from a different zone. Hubbard approached two men arguing and participated in a group beating and stabbing of 26-year-old Quayshawn Green.
A group of inmates piled on one vulnerable prisoner, with the detention officer watching it all take place.
This is on an arrest warrant, not for Hubbard, but for detention officer Gloria Franklin, charging her with violating her oath of office and other charges. Rather than stop the attack, Franklin let it unfold, the warrant states.
A jail monitor's report of misconduct by a Fulton officer seemed so bizarre. We've tried to uncover every detail about the alleged actions of Gloria Franklin that, if true, not only violates policy, but is also a violation of the law.
Describing video evidence, the warrant says she then escorted Hubbard back to his zone, retrieved cleaning supplies, and cleaned up the blood on the floor. She didn't document the attack, and Green didn't receive medical attention until other deputies talked to him a day later, according to the warrant affidavit. Others, both deputies and unsworn staff, have been fired for misconduct, particularly smuggling drugs. The jail is averaging about one deputy a month being arrested and charged with crimes themselves, on charges ranging from sexual contact with prisoners to facilitating acts of violence by inmates. And finally, because of staffing shortages, there aren't enough deputies to respond immediately to an act of violence. And the people being held there know it. Hence the glut of stabbings. For all the public focus on the horrifying death of LaShawn Thompson, the everyday life of a prisoner at Fulton County Jail is to experience fear of violence. But perhaps the most shocking thing is the lack of basic civility, which Lauren Hopper says she was slowly being conditioned to ignore.
I see a lot of nurses do a lot of yelling, kind of like the officers do, just to kind of own the presence of being there. And I felt like that's not my style, and I didn't think I could ever really be that person. And so that worried me a lot. I didn't really have problems, except for the master bay. I really didn't have problems with the inmates. Just like any human, if you treat them right, they pretty much respond, you know?
That's a sentence. Like, except for the masturbation, I didn't.
Well, because I feel like it's pretty bad, and I can't put my finger on where that comes from. I mean, it'll be like 10 of them, and they all have the blankets on, and then they take the blanket off. And then the officer turns their head, and it's like this.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So they're like, you've seen pictures, or you know how like the jail, like they have the upstairs, and then they have the down, and then they all line up to get their meds. So I'm standing there, and then the officer's supposed to be like keeping control right here. But then they're like talking to someone else, or they're turned around like this. And every time they do, they pull the blanket back and are jacking off. And like, there's like up to 15 of them at a time. One officer that kind of laughed about it, they were coming up to like the window where like my cart is, and they were like narrating. And then that's when I got mad, which is surreal that I'm acting like this is like normal, but it was kind of like they would have a story about how I wanted it, you know, like things like that, to where I could hear it. And then I was like, this is
I'm sorry, but I don't mean to re-traumatize you here.
No.
What's interesting is it doesn't sound traumatizing to you.
I know,
this
right?
Sounds very traumatizing to anyone. Like,
well, because I think I'm a little bit like biased. Like, I want to be on the inmate side, and I felt like that they didn't really treat me. But is this what an abused person says? Like,
well, it's a sign of them being institutionalized, which is just surprising that you could be institutionalized to that level in a jail and not in a prison. Like, that's what I think that's what I find most upsetting about that anecdote. It's like, this behavior is not something I would imagine any of these people would do on the street.
Absolutely not, and that's why I would just kind of not forgive them, but like think there's something behind that.
The pandemic reshaped jails and prisons across the country and across Georgia. Death rates have exploded in both nationwide, but the scale of the dysfunction of Rice Street can be hard to understand without hearing it directly from someone who has seen it and can be believed. Inmates and defense attorneys have been talking about these problems for years, of course. The Fulton County Sheriff's Office employed 403 officers as of May, with 132 posted at the jail. A spokesperson for the jail said the office is 40 officers short of full staffing, which may explain this. Other jails and prisons have been dropping NAVCare after high-cost lawsuits and inmate deaths. But in Fulton County's case, it was NAVCare that pulled out of its $27 million contract to serve Rice Street in May, 7 months before it was due to expire. NAVCare cited assaults on its staff and the stabbing of a patient as grounds for its departure. The NAVCare CEO, Bradford McLean, issued a statement calling Rice Street, quote, the most dangerous jail or prison facility where NAVCare is contracted to provide services in any location in the country. And then the county talked NAVCare into coming back. One of the conditions for NAVCare's return was enhanced security for its staff. NAVCare hires off-duty sheriff's deputies to shadow their nurses, the same ones who work at the jail.
It was because we had a couple incidences and we had a medical assistant get attacked by an inmate. So then they hired our officers to work overtime for $80 an hour to not be able to do any kind of intervention, just sit there to be our security. So like say another, like a fight was breaking out, they were like, oh, but I'm with NAVCare today. I'm not an officer. So it would be kind of like, the best money you'll ever make is an, you know, just to sit there. And they'd be like standing there like falling asleep. They'd be snoring and I'd have to wake them up.
So these are the same folks who would be working a different shift for the county.
Correct. And a lot of them would go, I don't even know that they would take a break, maybe a couple hours. Maybe.
So you saw guys that were just sort of falling out.
Correct.
I reached out to the sheriff's office to ask about NAVCare's contract. The office confirmed that NAVCare hires off-duty sheriff's deputies for jail security without further comment. Federal investigators recently began a probe of the Fulton County Jail. Their timing was interesting. The pace of deaths there increased. For about 2 months, the jail averaged a death a week. Those were the 2 months that the sheriff's office had to dramatically shift its staffing, increasing the hours of overtime it demanded of its deputies while pulling people out of off-duty time elsewhere to prepare for the arrival of its highest-profile visitor, Donald Trump.
History being made where we have a former president coming to Metro Atlanta, turning himself into the jail, facing a number of charges for allegedly trying to overturn an election here in our state.
Prosecutors are arguing that YSL isn't just a street gang, but a jail gang. They're linking accusations of crimes committed at Rice Street to their activities as a gang, establishing dominance and control wherever they are. Several defendants face charges from jail activity. As we mentioned a couple of times now, the indictment accuses Christian Eppinger of trying to kill YFN Lucci in jail, but he's also accused of fighting jail guards and other acts of misbehavior, including an inappropriate relationship with a jail guard. Tinquarius Mender is accused of leading a riot. Rodelius Little Rod Ryan is accused of having drugs in jail. Shannon Stillwell is accused of masturbating in front of a female guard. But Rice Street is such a mess in every way. How they determine what's gang violence or gang activity and what's not seems like a tricky proposition. In some cases, legal misconduct may simply be a matter of survival. On July 27, Durante Beebe, one of the YSL defendants, was stabbed in the head by another prisoner while he was in his bunk, according to a jail report. Guards found him with a gash on his forehead and below his eye on his cheek. Video shows how he was attacked with a knife by a man in jail on murder charges. Beebe refused to make a statement to investigators. 3 months later, on the eve of the trial, Beebe took a plea on the RICO charge to serve 5 years in state prison and to get out of Rice Street immediately. As of this recording in early December, 10 people have died in the jail's custody in 2023. 15 people died there in 2022. Tracking recent jail deaths nationwide has been a challenge. a program to track in custody deaths at the United States Department of Justice through the Death in Custody Reporting Act, ended just as the pandemic began. Assaults and other acts of violence are even harder to tabulate, meaning there are no statistical breakdowns of the most dangerous jails in America. But let's put things into perspective with a little comparison. Plans to close the notorious Rikers Island jail complex in New York were recently finalized after complaints over violent and inhumane conditions there. 28 people died at Rikers in the past 2 years, compared to 25 over that same period at Rice Street. But get this, Rikers is a complex of 10 jails and holds as many as 15,000 inmates. Rice Street holds 3,300. Three less deaths? One-fifth the size. Certainly, there are more stats than just inmate deaths to tally up, but it's hard to argue against Rice Street topping that list. It's Monday, December 11th, 2023. Early morning. Still dark outside. Attorney Max Shard gets a phone call. His client, Shannon Stillwell, has been stabbed in jail. In the courtroom a few hours later, Judge Earl Glanville addresses the jury.
Okay, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's something I need to take up with you. So don't get too comfortable, all right? Ladies and gentlemen, we've had a medical issue come up with one of our participants, so I'm going to have to recess for today, okay? And these things happen.
He doesn't want to bias the jury by telling them exactly what happened, but they likely noticed the empty chair next to Attorney Max Shard. I call Shard on the phone when I find out. He's about to head to Grady Hospital to meet Stillwell. He's still gathering details, but it sounds bad. We learn later Stillwell sustained multiple stab wounds and underwent a 2-hour surgery. When we talk, Shard isn't sure what this will mean for the trial.
It's very unfortunate and very concerning. He has many people who care very much about him, and we're in his corner, and that's it.
Stillwell has been in the Fulton County Jail since March of 2022, and this isn't the first time he's been assaulted. 4 months after being locked up, he was stabbed as well.
May I ask one sort of broad question, not specific about Shannon? Yeah. What the fuck are we going to do about the jail?
Obviously, that's a complex problem that I do not have the solution for. It's just that.
I mean, he's not the only guy. But, like, he's not the only... The idea that you might have multiple clients who've been hurt in jail is just mind-blowing.
Right. The families, the mothers who call me constantly, not even worried about the legal issues involved in cases. I could probably get more calls about safety concerns than anything else.
Shard isn't calling for a mistrial. He isn't expecting one. Stillwell wants his day in court. That day in court has been long coming. I've been looking at problems in this jail for as long as I've been looking at this case, longer. Shard and I have talked about it. Demence Flanagan was once his client. Every lawyer I've talked to about the jail has a story to tell about one client or another getting hurt at Rice Street. I've been waiting for a day like this in the YSL trial, worrying that one of the defendants is going to get killed before the trial is over. But I guess, as Judge Glanville would say,
these things happen.
King Slime is a production of iHeart Podcasts and Heirloom Media.
It's written and produced by George Chidi, Christina Lee, and Tommy Andres.
Mixing, sound design, and original music by Evan Tyre and Taylor Chacoin.
The executive producer and editor is Tommy Andres.
Our theme music is by Dunn Deal.
Fact-checking by Kaylin Lynch. Special thanks to No Amy Griffin.
And to the Atlanta news outlets 11 Alive, WSB-TV, Atlanta News First, and Fox 5.
For more shows from iHeart Podcasts, visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach, Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit TrinitySchool.org for more info now.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using our exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Generations Riviera Maya Resort and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.